Welcome to Live with Lon. So glad you're with us. And we're going to continue today in our study of the Gospels. We're in John chapter 12 right now, day one after the triumphal entry, 6 days to the cross. And we're going to be studying the last week of Jesus' life from all four Gospels for the next few months. Okay, we're going to pray. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the cross is the central event in human history, in the history of this world. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would exalt what you did for us on the cross today and exalt the ministry of the Holy Spirit that flows out of those events on the cross. Lord, encourage our hearts today and strengthen our spirits and fortify our souls to move on and live for you until you take us or you come get us. And Lord Jesus, give me power as I preach the word today from your spirit, an anointing from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Say it with me and what? Amen. Yes. Now, what do we teach at Lon Solomon Ministries and on Live with Lon? Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. Then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do today. Today, we have an amazing passage of Scripture. It's not long, but it's amazing. Last week, we saw Jesus say in his prayer, Lord, am I going to ask you to take the cross away from me? No. I'm going to ask you, Lord, glorify your name through the cross and my suffering and my death. And we talked about how in our prayer life, ultimately, the right motive to ask for anything is, Father, use your answer to glorify yourself. Bring attention, renown, the spotlight to you and your power. Now, we move on today, New King James Version of the Bible. And let me read the next several verses. Verse 31 of John 12. Now is the judgment of this world, Jesus said. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Now, that's our passage for today. Say, it's only two verses. I know. Say, good grief, Lon. We back to doing two verses a week? Well, if there are two verses like this, yeah. My goodness. Look what Jesus said. First, he said, now is the judgment of this world, verse 31. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Who is the ruler of this world? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this age is Satan, the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, the devil, Lucifer himself. And Jesus said, now, with the work I do on the cross, he's going to be cast out. He's going to lose his grip on people's lives who are willing to trust what I did, what I'm about to do, on the cross. What a wonderful thing. If the Son of Man makes you free, Jesus said, you shall be free indeed. Free of what? Well, free of the condemnation of a holy God. Free of going to hell because of the judgment of God. And free from the grip of Satan on your life and my life, using our weaknesses and using the flesh inside of us to keep us, make us slaves. He who commits sin is a slave of sin, Jesus said. but if I make you free, you will be free indeed. Satan's claws were in me so deep when I was 22 years old that they reached into my very innards. And God said, oh no. When I came to Christ, he said, oh no. Say that with me. Oh no. And he pulled them out one by one. He pulled those claws out of my body, out of my spirit, out of my soul, out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my life, and set me free. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said, the ruler of this world will be cast out because of the cross. Amazing. But then he goes on to say this, and if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. To be lifted up from the earth refers to what? Refers to the cross. Of course, that's what the passage says. This he said, referring to, look at this, by what death he would die. Being lifted up from the earth on the cross. Fine. We appreciate that clarification in the scripture. So we're not guessing at what Jesus meant when he said, if I be lifted up from the earth. Does that mean his resurrection? No. Does that mean his ascension into heaven, being lifted up from the earth? No. No. Those things are true, that he was lifted up from the earth. But this is talking about the cross. Because the scripture tells us that. Thank God for context. Remember what we say. A text without a context is a what? You forgot this, didn't you? Is a pretext. It's a lie. It's a falsehood. We could imagine anything regarding what it means for him to be lifted up from the earth, except we got context where the Bible says this was talking about by what means he would die, the cross. Okay, now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage. We want to ask our most important question. You ready? Come on. One, come on. Two, three. So what? Absolutely. And I've got Jackie in his brown suit today. Here he is. As he would say it, how sweet it is. As we would say it, how sweet it is. All right. How sweet it is that Jesus went to the cross for us. How sweet it is that the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up from the earth on the cross. So that, look what he says here, so that the ruler of this world will be cast out. So the ruler of this world will be disempowered in the lives of people who come to Christ. And now is the judgment of this world in the cross and the sin of this world. Praise the Lord, how sweet it is. Now, what's the so what here for your life, for my life? What's the takeaway? What's the not a sermon, just a thought here? Very simply. Well, it's this. Jesus said, look at verse 32, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, let's put this on the screen, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Was he lifted up from the earth? Yes. Did he actually go to the cross and do what he said he was going to do? Yes. So we could actually translate it. It's a first-class condition in Greek, meaning for if, you can substitute since. And I, since I was lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Since I was lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Now, what does this mean? Okay. Well, let's look at it. I will draw. How's he going to do that? Well, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? I will draw through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And look what he says. I'm going to draw all men and women and children. All means all. All means all. It's what Jesus said. All things work together for good. Does all mean all? Yes. I will draw all people to me. People in America? Sure. People in Brazil? Sure. People in China? Sure. People in Iran? Yes. People in Saudi Arabia? Yes. People living on the islands of the South Pacific? Yes. People in Australia and New Zealand? Yes. All people. Now, I will draw all people to where? To myself, to the gospel, to what I do on the cross in 6 days. This is what Jesus said. So the question is, how does he do this? Well, there's only two alternatives if it's all people. It can't be by the preaching of the gospel, because all people even today haven't heard the gospel. In other words, this verse does not mean that all people will be drawn to me because the gospel will be shared with them and they will hear about my work on the cross, and because of hearing the gospel, they'll be drawn to me. It's not what this verse means. Because all people, even as I said, today have not heard the gospel. So if it doesn't mean that, what does it mean? Well, it could mean that all people would be drawn to the Lord through creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Paul says, because what may be known of God is manifest, is made obvious in them, for God has shown it to them. That is, the people of the world. Watch. For since the creation of the world, this is what Paul's talking about, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made. What attributes? Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How were God's attributes, namely his eternal power and his Godhead, the fact that he exists as the God, the triune God of the universe, how was that shown to everybody in the world so that they are without excuse? Well, it was shown through creation. Listen, let me read to you. Psalm 19, look at verse 1. Let's put it on the screen. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. And the firmament, the sky, the above us, is declaring the work of his hands. What work? The stars, the clouds, the moon, everything. Day to day pours forth speech. Every day, creation is speaking to man. And night to night reveals knowledge. Watch. There is no speech, nor are there words where their voice is not heard. Their line, or maybe another reading would be their sound, has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. What's this saying? This is saying this is why man has no excuse, because everybody, by looking at creation, the firmament, the creation declares the glory of God every single day for man to see. Psalm 53, the fool, verse 1, has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. Why? Because you look around. You see the trees, you see the clouds, you see the stars, you see the everything, and how you didn't make it? Who made this? And the human body, with all of the complexity and all of the intricacies of all of the systems in the human body, and the enzymes and blood and all of this stuff. Who could have done this? This didn't happen by accident. What person could think this happened by accident? I once said to one of Jill's doctors, I don't see how anyone could go to medical school and not believe there is a God. And he said, I never really thought about it. I said, well, you need to. The human body is a testament to the fact that there is a creator God. There is no way it could happen by accident or evolution. Evolution is an excuse to not have to believe in God. That's all it is. So is this what Jesus is talking about? And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me through creation. Well, no, that's true, that he does try to draw, that there we call a general revelation. It is intended to draw man to admit that there's a God. Yes, that's true. But that was happening long before the cross. That's been happening since the day of creation. So that's not what he means here, because the cross brings something new in terms of drawing men to him. Therefore, in my opinion, the only thing this can mean is that when I'm lifted up from the cross and I'm dead and I'm resurrected, the Holy Spirit will go to work worldwide using his convicting power, for which the Word of God is, if it's preached, incredibly valuable. But the Holy Spirit does not need the Bible. He doesn't need it to convict of sin and to draw people to Christ. He drew me to Christ long before I ever read the Bible or knew anything about Jesus Christ. Anything. He was drawing me and eventually got me to Bob Eckhart with a conviction of my sin and a conviction that I needed outside help, someone who could change me from the inside out. I didn't figure that out. That was the Holy Spirit drawing me to Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about. The cross somehow sets him loose to do this in a special way that he wasn't doing it before, is how I understand this verse and how I believe it should be understood. Now, let's conclude by saying, if that's true, what does that say about free will and predestination, the whole argument? Well, if man is predestined, if God chooses who he's going to save by whatever standard he uses according to Calvinism, five-point Calvinism, then this verse can't be right. Because if God predestined only certain people, if he elected only certain people to be saved and didn't elect other people, then why in the world would Jesus put the Holy Spirit to work drawing all people, including the non-elect, to him? Makes no sense. And why would the Bible say, Isaiah 55, let's put it on the screen, verse 1, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Incline your ear, verse 3, and come to me. Listen, that you may live. Would you know it starts off by saying, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to me. Everyone. And look at Isaiah 65, verse 1. I permitted myself to be sought by those who did not ask for me. We know from the New Testament, he's talking about now the gospel going to Gentiles. I permitted myself to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation which did not call on my name. but I've spread out my hands all day long to a rebellious people, the Jewish people, who walk in the way which is not good. They walk in unbelief. Here God says, hey, I called, and let the Gentiles come to me. Anyone can come to me. And finally, the end of the Bible, the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Folks, how do we reconcile this with some people being elect and other people not being elect by God's sovereign choice? Well, I don't know, but I'll say this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable, verse 3, in the sight of God our Savior. Now watch, who desires, this is what God desires, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wait a minute, if they're the elect and there's non-elect people that God's already decided they're not getting into heaven, then how in the world can God desire all people to be saved? You say, Lon, what's the answer? I don't know. How am I supposed to know? I don't know how all this fits together because, let me show you something. In a week or two, I'm going to preach the rest of John 12 to you. And look at the rest of John 12, verse 37. We'll come back to it. But though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe that the word of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, which said, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 39, therefore they could not believe. They could not believe because Isaiah said God has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and turn again and I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw the Lord's glory. You say, well, wait a minute. That's the exact opposite of what we're talking about today. I know. How does that work? I don't know. But it's my job to simply point out things in the scripture and teach them to you. It's not my job to answer every question you got, because I can't. I'm just telling you, man's free will. I will draw all men to me. Anybody who wants to, you can come. Ho, come drink from the waters freely. I desire all men to be saved, 1 Timothy 2, and come to knowledge of the truth. Baby, that's in the Bible. And yet, whoa, they could not come because God hardened their hearts so they could not see and they could not understand and they could not turn to him and as God says, be healed. Whoa, that's in the Bible too. Oi. Oi. You can do this with me one more time. Ready? Oi! I don't know how all this fits together. I'm just telling you that before you hang your hat on either extreme, either man's free will on one extreme or election on the other extreme, better be careful. Better be careful. Because when we look at the Bible, both extremes are in the Bible. So we just have to say this exists in dynamic tension. We can't fix it. We can't solve it. But this is why Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't know who the elect is. I believe God does elect people because the Bible says so. I also believe man has free will and God wants every person to be saved. And the Spirit's drawing everybody to him after the cross. I believe that too. How do I know which person is which? I don't know. That's why I go out and preach the gospel to every creature. I share it with the guy at the supermarket ringing up my groceries. I give a track to the UPS and FedEx person coming to the front door. And DHL, I don't want to leave anybody out. I give it to people working in my neighborhood, mowing lawns. I give it to people on airplanes. I gave it to Jack McCoy from Law and Order when I saw him on a flight from L.A., Sam Waterston. Yeah, sure did. I gave it to Randy and Simon when I ran across them in a hotel from American Idol. Sure did. I don't know whether those people have been elected by God, and neither do you, so I give them to everybody. And I hope you do too. I have a word for everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, make us evangelists right here, every day, wherever we go. Lord, help us be a missionary every day. Everywhere we go, with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, with strangers. Because, Lord, we don't know who's elect, and we don't know who the Holy Spirit's drawing. So help us just preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every person. Thank you, Lord, and give us the courage, and give us the boldness, and give us the excitement about knowing you, that we're willing to do this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But be a missionary every day. That's the bottom line of today. That's what I want you to take away from today. God bless you.